Last Wednesday, several hundred people inexplicably mobbed a New York City shoe store. The attraction was not a sale on Blahnik pumps. The point of the mob was its pointlessness. For several weeks now, a shadowy group of pranksters has been sending out emails that organize inexplicable mobs, groups of dozens or hundreds of people who show up in a given place at a given time for a few minutes, then disperse as suddenly as they arrived. NPR's Rick Carr was part of Wednesday's mob, and he reports that, as pointless as it seems, it may well represent a new kind of social organization.
Here's how it works. Somebody sends you an email, it's probably been forwarded along a few times, that instructs you to synchronize your watch to a clock on the internet, then proceed to one of a few bars at a specific time. Which bar you go to is determined by your birth date, and wait for instructions. And so Manhattan resident Jason, who didn't want to give his last name, he said, in this era of increased government surveillance, was among a few dozen people who waited around a Soho bar on Wednesday, shortly before 7 p.m.
Well, you know, as I said before, it's something to do, right?
Jason said the mob wasn't only something to do. It was, in this faddish city, the fad of the moment.
Everybody's talking about the mob. Everybody. Everybody I know, at least.
Jason and his friend James Jackson, who lives in Brooklyn, said they'd been reading about the inexplicable mobs for weeks on hipster websites. And each of the previous three inexplicable mobs seemed to attract more mobbers and more attention. So, James said, they figured it was time to jump on the mob wagon for number four.
It's clearly sort of a groundswell, grassroots kind of movement that, in this particular case, doesn't seem to really have any greater point necessarily, but is a good excuse to go out on a Wednesday afternoon drinking.
Shortly after 7, a few women came into the bar to give the crowd its marching orders. They studiously avoided microphones. The mob was to head down the street and at precisely 7:18 go into a large shoe store. You are on a bus tour from Maryland, the instructions read. You are excited but also bewildered. It is as if the shoes were made in outer space. If you have a cell phone, dial a friend and say, "Guess where I am?" After a pause, say, "In a Soho shoe store," or "In one of those New York City mobs." And so the members of the mob downed their drinks and made their way out the door. James Jackson floated a theory about what they all have in common.
These are definitely people who have internet access and sort of organize their lives around things they hear about online.
And that, according to author Howard Rheingold, whose most recent book is called Smart Mobs, is what makes the pointless mob so interesting. It's not really pointless.
When people use mobile communication technologies and the internet to organize and coordinate their activities in the real world, in the face-to-face world, that's really a new kind of social phenomenon. That's what I call smart mobs, and that covers a lot of territory.
Territory, Rheingold says, that stretches from Soho to the Philippines. In 2000, for instance, when Philippine protesters forced President Joseph Erap Estrada out of office, Rheingold says they used technology to create a new kind of rapid response social structure. Except instead of email, like the New York mob, Rheingold says, the Philippines protesters were sending text messages with their cellular phones.
Someone sent out a text message saying, "Go to the square and demonstrate," and the people who received it then forwarded it with one keystroke to everyone in their address book. So it has a way of explosively communicating to large networks of people very rapidly.
The idea goes back even farther. In the early 1970s, science fiction author Larry Niven wrote some short stories about a future in which instantaneous travel, teleportation, was widespread and cheap. Getting from point A to point B would cost only a dollar. Niven says he imagined mobs of people flocking to hotspots around the globe to see the action. He called those mobs flash crowds.
People tune in their TV set, watch the news, they see something interesting, they would like to be there. If all it takes is a $1 coin, a great many thousands of them will go. So you get flash crowds.
Smart Mobs author Howard Rheingold says the world Larry Niven described has, in a sense, come to pass. Communication is cheap, easy, and almost instantaneous, and technological literacy is spreading.
As that literacy has spread through society, it has created opportunities for people to do things together, to organize collective action in all kinds of new ways, from political demonstrations to pranks.
Which brings us back to the mob in New York City. At precisely 7:18, a few hundred people converged on the shoe store and poured in, then milled around like a mob. The clerks in the store were so stunned they couldn't answer reporters' questions. 5 minutes later, on cue, the mob headed for the door.
Let's get the hell out of here.
And Jason, who had been waiting in the bar beforehand, said his first mob action was exactly as pointless as he'd hoped.
I admit, I am bewildered. These shoes do look like they're from outer space.
Some of the participants in Wednesday's mob said it already felt passé. There were too many reporters and too few people mobbing. But there will be another inexplicable mob in New York this Thursday, and similar events are taking place across the country and in Europe. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.